Hello and welcome to the Bigfooty Cats Draft Review Podcast, the day Meto crashed the Bigfooty servers while attempting to express his rage that we didn't take Luke Dunstan. On the panel tonight, I'll be joined by SJ, Pure Onage and the Jester to discuss our three selections, as well as a flashback to the 1999 National Draft. Don't go anywhere, because all that and more is coming right up.
We're blue and white, there's not a doubt, we play the game to win. A team that knows commitment, that's the way it's always been. We rise up to the challenge, we give the game our all. With sheer determination, we go in for the ball. With the crowd thunders, go Cats! We break the banner down. We know they'll play with courage till the final siren sounds. And the rival team will know that they've been run down by a pack. But you're eaten by, beaten by, defeated by the Cats. In a cat attack, go Cats! A cat attack, Geelong! A cat attack, go Cats!
My name is Gyson. Hello and welcome to the show. Guys, thanks for joining me. SJ, how are you?
Well, thank you, Gyson. Good to be here. Another big day at Bigfooty, and generally it's the day of the year when the servers drop at about the number two draft pick.
Pure Onage, how are things?
Yeah, well, thank you. Really excited to be here. Draft day is always a big day, a lot of anticipation for all of us, so really happy to be here.
And last but not least, the Jester.
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Beautiful afternoon still here in Jakarta. And looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, SJ was just saying it's the most popular day on Bigfooty for the year.
Yeah, I think generally the servers crashed and the posters have done us well again this year. I think it was down at about pick two.
That's right.
We think Meadow might have logged in with both his accounts to try and express his rage.
I think so.
That might have done it. Anyway, we'll get right into it. Pick 16, first up, bit of a surprise, Darcy Lang. He's a 181-centimetre, 77-kilogram midfielder from the Geelong Falcons. Pure Onage, what sort of player is he?
I think Darcy, it's funny, he's such a really skillful player, for those who've seen him play. He's small, he's not tall, he's 181 centimetres, he's reasonably slight. I think he's either 76 or 77 kilos. But he actually wins his own ball really well for a player that size. He's really quick, but he kicks well. He's really balanced, good decision maker. So really fits the mould. I think Geelong like players at the moment who make really good decisions. And I think also we're starting to look for guys who can kind of really run and carry. And he's really like a 60, 70 metre player. So I was a little bit surprised he went that high. And obviously he's coming off a pretty badly broken leg. Most people would know he broke his leg pretty badly in July, which you can see on YouTube. It's not good. But, yeah, that's obviously ended his year. But before that, he played very well for the Falcons and is a pretty versatile player, so should add a reasonable amount to the list.
And what would you say his number one attribute is?
I think... probably just he's a very good decision maker. I mean, he's obviously quick, which is what catches your eye. Like, he's really, really quick run and carry sort of player. I mean, we haven't obviously got, because of his injury, we haven't got really testing results to go off. But in the games that I saw him play live for the Falcons, he's a really quick player. But he has this ability to, like, he's quick, but then he kind of slows his hands down when he makes the decision about where to dish the ball off. He's just really poised in that way. That's probably the thing that strikes me about him.
And what about his weaknesses? Is there anything that really stands out, anything he needs to improve on before he makes it to AFL level?
Well, obviously he's coming off a pretty major injury, so his rehab will be pretty important. And I assume that Geelong have been tracking his rehab, and if they took him that high, they must have been happy with how he's rehabbing so far. It depends what role they want for him. If they want him to play more as a midfielder, he'll probably need to put on a bit more weight than what he does now. He's reasonably strong in a contest for a player who's pretty slight, but he could improve on that. That's something he probably will improve on with more training. Like I said, as a ball user and a decision maker, he's really, really good. So probably as he develops more physically, he'll actually win more football. That's probably the thing he can improve on. I mean, even for the Falcons, he wasn't a 30-possession player before his injury, so that's probably where he'll improve.
And you spoke a little bit about his role just then. What do you see his role on the side being going forward? How does he fit into the side, and how far away is he?
Because a player like who's really quick and who has very good skills, it's actually kind of hard to define a position, funnily enough. Like, you know, we've had that with like Mitch Duncan and a few other players. Motlop started as a small forward and now he like covers 150 metres, you know. So it's hard to say, but I envisage him probably starting maybe off a wing. That's probably where he'll get to use his skills and his speed and his vision. They might push him through half forward as well. Obviously, we've had some forwards go, like Chapman, and we don't have a amount of small to mid-sized at the moment, particularly while men are around. So that might be where they start him and put him onto a wing, more endurance back and that sort of thing.
And you spoke a little bit about his leg injury before. He did it in July, I believe.
That's so, right.
Yep. So what else can you tell us about that? Is there any more information? Whereabouts in his rehab is he?
Well, I did actually read an article in the Colac Herald a little while ago, which was saying that that was basically as of November that he's been recently back running. So he obviously didn't test at the combine, and you know he's only recently back running, so he's a fair way kind of behind in terms of preparing for next year. But he hasn't had any additional complications from the injury that we know, so that in itself is pretty good.
I'll get some of the thoughts from the jester here. What do you think?
I don't have a huge amount to add to what PA just said. It's probably just worth sort of emphasising a lot of people were on the Zach Jones bandwagon, including myself to a point, in the last couple of weeks. And at the time Lang injured his leg, he'd had a really good carnival as well as Ernest Jones. And they were both probably considered maybe second or third round picks at that stage. And obviously Jones had a really strong finish to the year in the TAC, took Danny Nong to the grand final where they did get thrashed. But Lang's injury means he hasn't had that chance. So to all the people listening, don't be overly worried by the fact that he's been talked about as a second or third round pick, because that reflects probably the view of him at the start of the season rather than the form he'd actually showed and potentially what he could have showed had he not been injured.
Anything else anyone wants to add there?
Yeah, I'll just ask a quick question about his size used when used as an inside midfielder. I guess I associate most inside midfielders with being quite tall generally, also quite strong, and that will calm the bulk. But when I think of most inside midfielders, they're generally the taller types and not so fast or not so small. I note that quite a few previews have him as great in close as well. I'm just wondering if there's sort of a comparison around at AFL level or is something like that, which will give us an indication of what sort of player he is, because he seems quite unusual to combine that fleet of foot speed with some good work in close as well.
Bundy, do you reckon, PO?
Yeah, I would say that's a good example, actually. Like, Bundy plays above his weight, like, in terms of winning his own ball against bigger guys, but then he can really, once he gets the ball, he can get out of that initial contest really quickly. And Lane could probably do the same thing. I don't know if that's how they'll use him, but I think he could.
All right, now we're moving on to a new segment for the first time on the Big Footy Cats podcast, and that's going to be called the Cats Flashback. And this is going to become a regular feature weekly, and we'll look back at all different things across the 154 years of the Geelong Football Club. I thought the most relevant flashback this week would be to look at the 1999 AFL National Draft, and this was a significant draft for the Cats for a number of reasons. Firstly, it was the first time that Mark Bomber Thompson was at the helm. So Gary Ayres had just left and in came Bomber, and within a number of years, 2 or 3 years, Bomber actually pretty much redeveloped the entire Cats list, and he did this with going deep in many drafts, and this was no exception. Now, the Cats had 7 picks in the first 47 in this draft window, which sounds quite a lot, and it's probably similar to what we're seeing Brisbane or someone like that doing at the moment. The first pick was pick 8, and they went west, the Cats, to a young fella called Joel Corey from Western Australia. All midfielder, 191 centimetres and 89 kilograms. He showed quite a lot of talent at under 18 and junior level, being named All-Australian at under 18 level, and also playing for Western Australia and in the International Rules Series for Australia that year too. Obviously, Joel Corey, we all know about him. He's just recently retired. He ended up playing 276 games for the Cats and a 3-time premiership player. The interesting thing about this draft is that because it was, it's quite famous now, but picks 15, 17 and 23, all taken by the Geelong Football Club, were actually all misses. David Spriggs was a very promising midfielder for a couple of years at the Cats, taken at pick 15. I think things went wrong when he jumped off a wall onto the sand dunes after a few drinks and did his knee, had to have a knee reconstruction, and didn't play that well for the Cats after that. Moved up to Sydney and retired quite early. Ezra Bray was taken at pick 17 and never played a match for the Cats at senior level. I think he had some personal problems, and that was a pity that we never sort of got to see his talent realised. And Daniel Foster was a taller key position player, tried at both ends of the ground, played 17 games for the Cats, but was moved on quite quickly. The amazing thing is that even with those three misses, this is the only draft in AFL history where four players have been picked at the same team to go on to play at least 220 games for their club. The next three were Paul Chapman at 31, Cameron Ling at 38, and Corey Enright at 47. Chapman playing 251 games for the Cats, Ling 246, and Enright 266. Along with Corey, all four of them won 3 premierships, all four of them won best and fairests, and really this was the draft, in my opinion, that set up one of the greatest eras at the Geelong Football Club. Does anyone else have any memories about these players or what they thought at the time?
It's certainly amazing to just to look back on. Obviously, I wasn't old enough at the time to realise the significance, but looking back, these greats of the football club, especially the three selected so late, it's just amazing to see overall, and especially with the, as you emphasised, with the three kind of the three spuds, I guess, in between.
The Jester, I know you're a draft guru. Any thoughts on this one? Because it certainly marked Geelong's intentions for the next few years in terms of drafting.
Yeah, it probably shows how much drafting's changed, even in just under 15 years. Ezra Bray, there was a really good article published in The Age a few years ago that sort of told his tragic tale, and the way that the sort of modern structures around player welfare management didn't really exist at the club, and that was probably partly to explain for why. Yeah, he didn't make it and was delisted after 2 years. But also, even the pick for Chapman, we got for trading Mickey Mansfield to Carlton. And I guess this was still around the period where teams were prepared to trade away quite picks for marginal players. And there wasn't that emphasis on rebuilding and the cycle that there is now. And so you wouldn't expect that kind of thing to happen again. And I guess the other one is Cameron Ling, in that I suppose we all know the story about him as well, in that he's this pudgy full forward. People can say he's a good footballer, they can say he's a good leader, but they don't know where he's gonna fit in into an AFL side. We pick him quite late on the basis of that sort of general talent, and then he ends up being this elite defensive midfielder. So, yeah, I think it does sort of mark the start of an era for the Cats, but also, shows how much things have changed in terms of drafting.
I think that's a good point. And I think the other one there was Enright, who was, I think, basically an unknown by almost all recruiters. He was plucked from this tiny town in South Australia called Kimber and was a bit of a shock. And yet he's gone on to become a 5-time All-Australian there at 47. So Stephen Wells had his fingers all over this draft. And again, touching on the point you made about Paul Chapman, Michael Mansfield was traded to Carlton towards the end of his career, actually, by the Cats, which I read recently actually caused him a great deal of pain. And now he's looking to become a Geelong board member in the near future. But yeah, to pick up pick 31 for a very good player who was coming towards the end of his time, you're right, TJ, you don't see that too much these days.
No, perhaps even we've gone a little bit too far in the other direction, where there's that sort of, Paul Roos talks a lot about this. I think he first used it when he traded for Darren Jolly, where, it's pretty simple, but you sit down and you look at the player you want to trade for, and then you look at all the players drafted with the draft pick you're going to offer. And there's sort of this assumption that, you would never draft a second round pick for player blah, but well, actually look at how often that pick turns into a good player, not very often. So the team getting the established senior player is probably doing a little bit better.
That's right. Anyway, thanks for that. That's a quick look at the 1999 AFL draft. It's certainly a significant moment in the Geelong Football Club history. And I'm looking forward to bringing some more Cats flashbacks going forward into next year. Now we'll move on to the second pick that Geelong has had tonight in the 2013 draft. And that was pick number 36, Jared Jansen. He's a 190-centimetre, 91-kilogram midfielder from East Fremantle. The Jester, what sort of player is Jared?
Oh, look, like all players on draft day, he's a future 200 gaming, All-Australian, best and fairest winning captain of the club, isn't he?
All he has to do is tear up the training track for the next 3 months.
Yeah, that's so many houses are going to be brought down around KP thanks to his work. No, it's interesting watching. I only saw him a couple of times playing for WA, and I did actually quite like him, but I sort of thought he maybe would be more in rookie range. Having said that, as with Darcy Lang, there's actually not a huge amount you can knock him on. He's a tall, strong inside midfielder for his Colts side, played more on a half-back flank, I think, for WA against the stronger sides. Almost in a bit of a lockdown role. And I think he did really well in that. Good player, maybe taken a little bit higher than expected.
Okay, that's interesting. And what would you say his number one attribute would be?
Well, he can clearly find his own footy, and he does have that physical size. But without wanting to talk him up too much, I did think, in much the same way Zach Jones impressed in the championships with his calmness under pressure, especially inside defensive 50. I thought Jansen had a bit of that. Didn't, when he's on the inside, he does throw the ball on the boot a bit, but when he's in a bit of space, I think he can use it quite effectively. And he's got that sort of composure that we're seeing Geelong draft more and more for.
Oh, that's great. And in terms of his weakness, I guess you mentioned maybe some foot skills in close. Would you say that's the biggest thing that he needs to work on, he needs to improve?
Yeah, you would think foot skills and probably just a bit of polish more generally. Not necessarily a huge winner of the ball either when he went from that Colts level to a more intense level, be it in the Waffle Reserves or the under-18 championships. So just a bit of time to mature and develop, I would think, and yeah, improve the foot skills.
No problems. I noticed he's quite a big, well, both tall, but also has some size about him at 91 kilos. Do you see him fitting into the senior side at any point in 2014, or are we talking a bit more of a long-term prospect for Jansen?
I would have thought a more long-term prospect, but then again, we said that about Thurlow last year, and he looked right at home at senior level. It also depends. If they do what they were sort of doing in 2011, 2012, and just try and get games in the youngsters, then yeah, I could definitely see him playing one or two. But I would think he'd spend most of the year maybe on a back flank initially, and then spending a bit more time in midfield in the VFL as the year goes on.
Yeah, that's great. The other thing I thought, I noticed that he sort of pushes forward at times, and I know that the Cats are missing that medium forward or have been over the last couple of years with Menzel going down, sort of, there's a bit of a gap in our list in that medium forward range. Do you ever see him playing a bit of a half forward or a lead up forward role, or is that sort of not quite his type?
Oh, he could do it potentially. He's considered pretty strong overhead, which again is a sort of classic trait that Geelong drafts for. I would have thought by the time he'd be in a position to do that at senior level, a few other options probably would have come through, like say Shane Kirsten or even hopefully Menzel back fully fit.
Yeah. Well, certainly at his size from the West, big inside player, strong overhead. He's reminding me a lot of Joel Corey right now. Pierre Oni, did you have any other thoughts on Jared Jansen?
Well, he's a really Geelong sort of midfielder. Very, very good as a contested player. Not flashy, but when you actually look down into his game, he's actually a good player. Doesn't really have that much of a weakness. Does remind me of Joel Corey. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying he'll be that good, but a similar sort of player, I think, will really thrive on the work. The footy that I saw him play, he's a really good player. He's a good size for a midfielder. Wins his ball well. I think his kicking's reasonable enough. So I think there's a fair bit to work with. I'll be interested to see where they play him next year in the VFL. That'll be interesting.
Indeed. That's a great wrap up of Jansen. As we were talking off air before, I think it's good to have another Jared back down at the club. hopefully we don't get that, or maybe we'll get another max out of him. But Guyson, did you have anything to add, or can we move on to pick 41?
Well, something I'm just thinking about. Could he draw comparisons to Joel Corey? He seems to be a similar height and weight to Joel Corey was at the end of his career, and Jared Jansen's right at the start.
I think we can safely say he has drawn comparisons to Joel Corey, yes.
I would agree with that as well.
It's probably a very good sign to see him picked up then. Moving on to pick 41, which was, you'll have to forgive me here, Jake Kolodashny, 192 centimetres, 90 kilogram defender from Launceston. Pure Ownage, back to you. What sort of player is he?
Well, he's the polar opposite of Trent West, isn't he? So it's interesting to think what we've exchanged one for the other. But no, I apart from the fact that I can't pronounce Kolodashny, I quite like Jake. And I mean, he was interesting. He playing for Tasmania, and it's interesting we've got another Tasmanian. I mean, he impressed at the start of the year. I know that. A lot of people have talked about his brother, obviously, but Jake had been, you know, really talked about as a rookie, this player. But he progressed really well for Tasmania through the championships. I think he showed that he people probably thought he was more of an outside player who was quick and had, you know, good foot skills and vision. But he showed an ability to play in the champs games that I saw against bigger players. In defence and do it quite well, and his contested work seemed to really improve, and he obviously tested really well, which pushed him up the order a bit. There was a lot of talk of whether they, obviously both the brothers, would go to the Gold Coast. So in the end, he probably fell further than most people expected, and I think obviously we'd look to restock the defence with that pick, and he reminds me of Thurlow in a lot of ways. He's like a really kind of, he's not a genuine tall, but he'll play tall. He can play on talls and smalls. He's quite quick. He uses the ball really well. You look at him and he doesn't look physically a big player. Like he's listed, for people who don't know, he's listed at 90 kilos, but he doesn't look big if you watch him live. But he is actually pretty strong, and he really contests well like Thurlow does, but then he gets out the other side with the ball and really makes good decisions. So I like him. And we talked a lot up to the draft about how we needed more defenders, and we needed to really restock that area of the ground. And I think he'll do well starting at halfback. So he's a good get with a pick that late.
Just quickly, you mentioned he looks bigger than Oh, sorry, he doesn't look as big as the size he's listed at.
He just looks, and it's almost the way he plays. Like, because he's a player who kind of, he's an intercept type player. Like, he kind of, he's not at the front of the pack. Like, he sees the ball coming, and then he kind of flies in and reads it really well. He's got a very good leap. He tested very well from memory at the combine for both the jumps and the sprints, which kind of really indicates what sort of player he is. So you look at the way he plays, and he's not physically really big, and you think, oh, this guy's kind of an outside player, but he's actually quite good playing on an opponent, and he's quite good as a genuine defender. He's probably not a tall defender, which is what a lot of us were talking about before the draft, but I think he's a good defender.
What would you say his number one attribute is?
I think obviously he's athletic, although I don't really like that word because that's kind of sometimes overused to describe guys who can't play footy. But I think from what I've seen of him play, he reads the ball really well. Like I said, he can often come from behind an opponent, but actually get in front to get the ball, partly because he's quick, but also because he really reads the play really well. And when he's got the football, he actually uses it pretty well. So he's kind of uncannily similar to the guy we picked last year, Thurlow.
And what would you say his biggest weakness is? Is there anything that stands out to you that he really needs to improve on?
Probably, well, I suppose one thing is they'll have to work out what his best position is, because, like I said, he falls through a little bit in that I don't think he'll be a genuine key position player at AFL level. He probably lacks, he needs another interview for that, and obviously to bulk up a bit. And with a player who's got these really athletic qualities, I don't think he'd risk trying to bulk him up a lot and lose that. So then it's like, well, where is his best position? Is he an Andrew Mackey type player who can play on talls but will primarily play on smalls and attack from a back flank? And probably the other thing is just as he learns to use his skills more, he needs to win more footy. I mean, you know, at champs level, he only really averaged about 12 possessions a game. So he's got good attributes, but he just needs to learn to win more football and become a higher possession player.
Do you see a role for him in 2014? Or is he more of a longer-term prospect?
I would have said long-term, but I thought the same thing about Thurlow last year. I did not expect him to play any senior football in his first year. And he played, I think, either maybe 6 or 7 games before he then had a fractured cheekbone or a similar injury, which held him back in the second half of the year. So, yeah, I would say more kind of Jake would usually start in defence at VFL level on a back flank and really progress from there. But it's like what TJ said before. It depends what the coach's philosophy is. We had some experience leave the club in the off-season, so they might be planning to actually play some of these guys quite early on. I think he could play quite early on, but he is still a long-term prospect. He needs a bit of development, like I said, particularly in terms of working out what his best position is.
The Jester, do you have anything to add to that?
Not really. I actually didn't get to watch Tassie Live this year, so I'll defer to PO's opinion on him. Again, you know, from the descriptions of him, he does sound like he has that skill set that Geelong really likes. He reads the ball well on the air and he plays off his man. And, yeah, he might not be physically huge, but he makes up for that with footy smarts, so...
And SJ, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I do. I think the biggest problem for me is going to be trying to pronounce his nickname from the stands. I was reading an article just earlier about the Twins and what nicknames they have, because it's going to be a bit easier than saying Collard Ashney every time we're running out of the back line. It turns out his brother, his nickname's KK, or Collar. But they call Jake Dutchy, even though their surname isn't Dutch. It just stuck. So... I'm not sure if I'm going to go with Collar or Dutchy, but one of the two sounds good.
Yeah.
Dutchy.
You can't call him Collar these days. It's got too many connotations. We start calling him Collar off the back flank. That's not too much Sydney about it. So we're going to have to come up with something else, I think.
It's funny, I was thinking before...
I'm looking forward to... I was just going to say, looking forward to all the journos to finally learn how to pronounce Blue Sarves, grappling with this all of next year.
Well, they still haven't. That's the thing.
They still haven't nailed Christensen yet.
Here comes Matty Stokes running down the wing.
Is that just Tony Shaw's inability to actually speak English coming to the fore?
Could be that. It could be.
Okay, we better move on to more of an overall look at the draft. Might start with the players we've taken as opposed to the needs that we have. What are your thoughts on the two midfielders and the one defender? I'll start with you, Pio.
Well, I think, we covered some bases. We were all talking about getting another big body midfielder. Most people felt that we really needed that, and I think we did that. And I think if you look at it, probably a lot of the... we were unlucky in that a lot of the good inside midfielders, they went in the early part of the second round. A lot of those guys went, Crouch went there, Dumont went there, Taylor went there. So I think we kind of took the best player of that type who was left. I reckon we did quite well with that. Jansen went probably a little bit earlier than some would have expected. But I think if that's the type of player we were looking for, we got the best we could with that pick. He's got some good attributes. I like Lang. He's a good player. Obviously, I'm a little bit concerned about the injury that he's coming off, but he'll really add some kind of running carry to our side. And we don't have, aside from Motlop, we don't actually have a lot of that. So that does fill a need. And I think we've done well. I mean, obviously, you know, without sounding like Mito, I was surprised we didn't pick at all. But a good news is most of the decent talls, there was a couple taken. I mean, obviously Giles went in the second round, I think, and McStay went in the second round as well. But there's some good talls left for the rookie draft, so we've got some options. We continue to go for the defence, which is the most ageing line that we have. So it's probably logical to actually kind of pick players for that. So I think we did well.
And TJ, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, as much as we were surprised by the players we took, I think they do fill the needs we're talking about, as PO said, but also they probably fit this pattern of how Geelong's been drafting the last few years. So Lang's being talked about as a quick, smart player. He's got inside game, but he uses the footy well and he's sort of composed with it, which seems to be skill sets we really value and want to draft for highly. And then Jansen's that more inside player, almost your more classic Geelong midfielder. And then Collar Dashney's, again, smart reader of the play in the air, can maybe play a bit taller than he actually is. So I think we filled our needs reasonably well. Again, as Pio said, it'll be interesting to see if they take someone a bit bigger like Sully in the rookie draft.
Sully! Sorry about it.
We might touch on the rookie draft a little bit later. I just thought I was very happy to see us take two midfielders, especially one big midfielder and a defender. I certainly wasn't one of the people who was calling for a ruckman, calling for a tall. I know a lot of people even considered Cameron McCarthy should be our pick, which I certainly disagree with. So I'm very happy to see the two mids and the defender. I think that was the straightforward, sensible way to go. SJ, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I guess I agree with the two experts we've got here. Clearly, for me, the biggest issues with the list going forward is the midfield, depth in the midfield, which I think is becoming more and more important as the years go on. And as Pure Onion said, clearly the back line is the most ageing or becoming their point of the list. So, I mean, we picked up two midfielders and a defender. They seem to be quite flexible players as well, at least two of them, which is sort of the Wells trait. And I think that fits right in. So in terms of types of players, I think we nailed it. I guess another question I have for TJ and PO is on value for our picks. I guess we sort of touched on this earlier, but Lang and Jansen, in many predictions, were sort of slated a bit further down the order. And I also noticed that before every Geelong selection, we took quite a while discussing at the table before we made our selections. Now, was this do you think this was a function of our ideal player being picked maybe by the Swans just beforehand on two occasions, and we sort of ended up not quite getting what we wanted and paying slight overs? Or do you think we sort of were around the mark in terms of the value for our draft picks this year? PR, I'll go to you first.
Well, I think obviously it seems like we kind of had Jones nabbed from under our noses a little bit, and then we had I noticed the long pause between the recruiting team because they'd obviously planned what they were going to do with that pick. And then, but I don't think it would have been that unexpected. I mean, Wells is the sort of, he's very much on record that he almost always drafts best available, particularly in the first round. So they really would have had a list that they were working off. And I think they would have just gone player by player on their list. I mean, obviously they had a particular type that they're looking for. As TJ mentioned, they really like poised players. They like guys who will make good decisions under pressure, because it's very hard to train that into a player. So they like to take players who've got that ability and then work on what other technical issues they've got in their game. So we may have reached a little bit, but I think we got, the important thing was we got three players who look like they've really got good AFL attributes. And I think in a draft that was pretty even, I'm not surprised we reached a little bit. I think we did well in the end.
And TJ?
I kind of disagree slightly with the idea of reaching. I remember reading this really interesting article from an ex-general manager in the NHL in the US, who I guess, you know, they're responsible for recruiting. And he said his scouting department had a real problem with consensus in that, you know, out of the dozen scouts he had or whatever, 11 of them would talk to everyone else at the rink and each other and would sort of be scared to actually go out on a limb about a player. And only one of his scouts ever, you know, sort of had the courage of his convictions and said, no, I think this guy, no one else rates him, but I think this guy is, you know, the fifth best player in the draft or whatever. And I think that's clearly a big trait of Wells's. And on his record, you'd have to back him. So the fact that someone like Jansen was rated a lot lower, well, the proof is in the pudding, you know. I guess Thurlow being an obvious example where everyone sort of thought we had reached for him, and then he has to have been one of the most impressive debutants in senior footy last year. So, no, I don't think we will have reached. I think we probably did get trumped a couple of times, but I'm sure Wells would be confident that the players they've taken there are worth taking there.
Yeah, so a bit of groupthink, you think, maybe filtered through the community, and it's actually good to step outside that. Guyson, any other thoughts on that too?
Yeah, I think yourself and also PO touched on this just before. The really long thinks that and we actually asked for extra time, I believe it was for pick 36, that the team had before each pick. Obviously with Zach Jones, a lot of people were pretty certain that he was going at 16, and then he went at 15 to Sydney. And then in the 20s, there was quite a few that we sort of were hoping might slide. A bit of faint hope. There was Darcy Gardner at 22, Matt Crouch at 23, Daniel McStay at 25. And then a few others that we were fairly confident might get there were sort of Merritt, Lewis Taylor, definitely not, but Rory Lobb, Trent Dumont, George Hewitt, Tom Cutler, Nicholas Robertson, and Toby Nankervis. So sort of this long list of players which had been linked with us at pick 36, and they obviously had, you know, the 4 minutes to think about taking Jared Jansen. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, indeed. I'll just throw to TJ with another question. Clearly, we've gone for midfielders, and from what I can see, they don't seem too far away from footy, at least in the next couple of years. Do you think that puts extra pressure on some of our developing midfielders like Stringer, Schroeder, and Holland Smith in 2014?
Yeah. Schroeder and Stringer in particular, given that they've just drafted another small, quick mid who is in Lang who's noted as being a pretty good user of the ball, which I guess is the knock on Stringer and Schroeder's game. You'd be worried if you were them. Paul and Smith maybe not so much, because I think Jansen's a little way away, but also we are going to see all these big-bodied midfielders like Kelly and Bartel retire in the next couple of years, so there'll be more spots opening up in that sense. I guess the other thing is, yeah, how close are they to senior footy? And Schroeder and Stringer probably have a bit of, you know, well, they obviously have a head start on them in that regard. So it would put pressure on them in the medium term rather than the short term, I would think.
And PO, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think guys like Schroeder and Stringer are under pressure anyway. I don't think what happened tonight changed too much. Like, I think it's always, particularly with Wells, I think it's a function of he kind of gets what he wants in a lot of ways, as he should. And so in drafts where he says he wants to go quite deep, we're very happy to give him a lot of picks. And so, you know, if next year, for example, which they're talking about is a very good draft, I know it's early, but certainly being talked about that way, then I think naturally guys who are on the fringe and who have spent more than 3 years on the list are under pressure. They're more under pressure from each other. I don't think it's so much these guys we draft. Like if you look at guys like, say, you know, Cowan, who can never get on the park, he's another one. And Schroeder and Stringer, you know, they're realistically probably battling in a position where, you know, if there's three or four of those guys, by the end of next year, one might become really part of our best side and really entrench himself. And the other two, as a result of that guy playing a lot of footy, don't get the opportunities and kind of end up off the list. So I think it's more they're fighting against each other than fighting against 18-year-olds that we've just drafted. But I think those sort of guys would naturally be under pressure anyway.
Well, guys, I think we've pretty much covered it. I guess the only other question to ask is, do we think Meadow might be a St Kilda supporter next year with Luke Dunstan going there?
Well, his son's already jumped to Essendon, hasn't he? Following Chappie, so...
That's right.
I hope he sticks with the Cats.
You got a feel for him, don't you? The rookie draft we thought we might mention is 6 days away. It is on... the 27th, I believe. So look out for that one. Matthew Sully, still available. Guys, do we think he might be a rookie pick for Geelong?
I think some of us are hoping.
I think it'd be a chance. I noticed the... it was funny because obviously that we've been reading so many articles the last few days, everything's been flat out. But I noticed the article that they sneaked in on the AFL site a couple of days ago where... I don't know if people read it, but basically they were talking about, I think it was in last year's final series, not this year's final series, where they really challenged him to say, look, you're the size of a monster, play like one. And he's really progressed from there. And really for him, it was about, he's a really good physical size and he's a good defender, but learning to use those attributes and be more of an attacking player, which has probably kind of been the knock on him, but he's just really defensive. And Max Rook had some good words to say about him in that article. So I think they'll certainly look at him if he's available. The last 3 or 4 years, we've pretty much every year taken a player from our VFL program anyway. We took Simpkin a couple of years ago, who just played in a premiership at Hawthorn, and then we took Sheringham. We've consistently done that the last few years to give opportunities to VFL guys, and he's probably the best in the VFL group this year, so you would think that they would look at him. And I think more generally they might look at a couple of talls, so he'd be in there.
TJ, what do you think about the rookie draft prospects?
I think that whatever I think Stephen Wells will do, the exact opposite, so I might just wait to review him.
Okay, and SJ, any thoughts on something we should have a free hit at in the rookie draft?
No, I'll follow TJ's path and just wait and see. I'm not sure if anyone had us picking Lang with 16. So by the time we get to the rookies, it's even a more cloudy scenario. So we'll wait and see and report back next week.
In Wells we trust, I guess. Guys, absolutely. Thanks very much for joining us once again. It's been a great podcast. I think everyone received last week really well. We don't think we nailed it, but we think we went pretty well. And I'm certainly happy with how we've gone tonight. So Thanks very much.
Thank you, Gyson. Thank you. I'm sure if you want more information like this, remember to hit the bigfooty.com Geelong board. The Jest Up Hero Onage is on there. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, the servers are up, back and running. And, yeah, we'll look forward to the rookie draft next week.
Go Cats.
And thank you to the Jester and Pure Onage for their expertise as well.
No worries. Thanks, guys. See you again soon.